Welcome to another episode of the Women in STEM Plus podcast. Today, we will be interviewing Alina Rahim, the Women in STEM Plus member spotlight for the month of May. Women in STEM Plus is an organization dedicated to empowering women in STEM Plus fields.
Thank you so much, Alina, for coming. I am the co-host, Suhavi, and my other co-host is Sashmi. So Alina, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and the activities and activism that you are currently involved in?
Yeah, so hi everyone, my name is Alina Rahim. I am a junior at Stanford Online High School, and man, I don't know where to start. So I go to OHS, and a lot of my interests entail sort of activism, social justice work, as well as like volunteer work. I'm also a competitive saber fencer and have fenced for 11 years. So that's also been a really big part of my life. And I'm also a film nerd. I love filmmaking. So that's also a big part of sort of the things that I am involved in. And also in terms of like science, I want to go into the medical field. So I'm sure we'll get more into that. But healthcare is a really big passion of mine, specifically healthcare disparities. And sort of that's like the intersection of my social justice work as well as my passion for science and medicine. So very quick rundown.
That's so amazing. So tell us how you got into all of this. Like, did you decide that you want to start one of these podcasts or activism parts, and then you were like, oh, I want to do more of these? Or was it like, all right, I have this bunch of ideas, let's just start all of them at once?
Yeah, I am also a podcast co-host. I probably should have mentioned that. I'm a podcast co-host on Dear Asian Girl, and also Colonize This. So I do that as well. And in terms of my work, I would say a lot of them overlap a lot. So that's kind of how I got involved in each of them. So for example, my filmmaking is sort of a gateway for me to voice my political activism. And then if I'm becoming more specific in my filmmaking, that's also a way for me to sort of make short films or documentary films about healthcare and healthcare disparities. So they each are very much linked for sure. Even though they seem like super random and people are like, how are they linked? They really are linked, and I try to make a sort of way for me to get involved into all of those. But in terms of what I started with, I would say social justice. I think I utilized my youth organization that I run and had sort of taken that position and then furthered my engagement in social justice and as well as just the larger realm of activism through that youth organization. So that was a very big part of my social justice experiences, and that sort of led me to the Women in STEM organization, as well as a lot of other social media-based social justice work in other organizations in sort of that field, I guess.
So you mentioned that your like activities and everything that you do was linked, and I was just wondering, how exactly is it linked? Like, because you have a big passion for social justice through your podcast and through YAS, and you also mentioned that you love medicine. So I was just wondering, you know, how do you think that those are linked and how do those relate to each other?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say I touched on this a little bit, but I know that it doesn't really make sense to people when I explain it. So just to clarify, I think the basis of literally all of my work is social justice. And I know that that's like everyone really loves to be passionate about activism and volunteer work. I mean, who doesn't want to be a good person, right? But my sort of passion for social justice allowed me to understand my other interdisciplinary sort of approach to like medicine and also filmmaking, because healthcare and filmmaking are the two biggest like mediums in my mind. Filmmaking is very powerful because it portrays an image, a story, sort of a message to people. Like media has sort of manipulated people in such a large way that by utilizing that and like the idea of like healthcare disparities is also very powerful, because you can sort of portray this idea of healthcare disparities against BIPOC people on a much larger scale. So that's kind of how filmmaking is linked to my social justice work. And then in terms of like healthcare, I think just activism in general has made me understand why I want to go into healthcare, if that makes sense. Because at first, like, I'm not a science person, and I know that sounds horrible, but genuinely, like, I am horrible at chemistry. I hate physics, and bio, I'm, like, barely understanding. So it's, like, it's so absurd for someone to be, like, oh, I want to go into medicine, but I literally hate science. But so the reason why I actually want to go into healthcare is because of, like, the humanity side of it, which really is so, like, weird. I know that's, like, such a quirky thing to say, but genuinely, if you really think about it, healthcare has such a humanity sort of element to it that I think I veer closer towards. And so again, that's sort of linked to my understanding of social justice and then being more aware of, like, disparities in the healthcare field and sort of embarking on that path when I want to go into when I want to go into medicine. So yeah, hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah. So how does, like, growing up where you grew up, like, in the state that you grew up in with your older sibling, how did that influence how you decided to, like, take on these activism activities?
Yeah, so I grew up in Idaho, which is, like, random state, like, super random. People literally only connected to potatoes. But my experience growing up there also really, I think because I grew up in a red town in a conservative area in a very racially homogenous area, I was able to feel more confident in my political beliefs because of that. And also just the things that I do. Meaning, like, I wasn't just getting into activism for the sake of just getting into it because everyone around me does it, because really no one around me really did activism or social justice work because I live in, like, Idaho. And then my sister was also a very big influence on my activism and my activities and just the things that I'm passionate about. And I will never tell that to her face, like, straight up. I will never, ever tell her that you inspire me. Like, that as a younger sibling, never gonna say that to her, but she really did. Like, she has no idea how much I aspire to be in the position that she's in. And I, oh my God, I literally even hate saying it out loud, but that's honestly the truth though. She really did sort of open my eyes to a variety of different things. And I was able to be more, like, secure in my, like, identity because of that. So never telling that to her face. So I hope she doesn't listen to this recording at all.
Yeah, I think I grew up in Bay Area, right? I'm still in Bay Area. So I think seeing, like, all these, like, opportunities, like, activism, very overwhelming sometimes, right? You see, oh, everyone else is doing it, I have to do it too, I have to be involved in, like, this. But it's really refreshing to hear about how you decided to start this despite everything around you, because you felt like it would make you more of who you are instead of doing it because everybody else did it. It was almost like becoming more, like, self-confident in your beliefs. I think that's pretty empowering for everyone listening to this. So I wanted to ask, do you feel your love for like the humanity side of STEM is an extension of your activism and your creative side as a film nerd, or is it vice versa? Like, you decided to take on STEM because of your love of activism?
Oh my gosh, I really wish I had a proper answer to that. I would say the first sort of reasoning you gave, because, like, I always did seem attracted to the idea of going into the medical field. And maybe that's because my dad is a doctor, because that's definitely a big reason, I'm sure. But just through the work that he's done and the way that he was able to connect to his patients and just completely redefine the healthcare field and the healthcare system was amazing to me. In my eyes, I was very attracted to sort of doing that as well. And then the social justice side of what I do also helped me sort of solidify my reasoning and wanting to do go into the medical field. So I would say it's, like, somewhat of a balance, but I definitely do think my creative side has helped me find, like, an interdisciplinary sort of space in the medical field and the science field for me to sort of embark on. So hopefully that was a decent enough response.
Okay, and then I wanted to ask, you mentioned earlier that you were making a film. Can you tell us a little bit about the film that you're writing? Like, what is it about, and sort of what gave you the idea, what inspired the idea for the film? And maybe like a little bit of the process as well.
Yeah, definitely. So my film, I normally do a lot of documentary filmmaking. So trying to do a, like, fiction sort of film was very hard for me, because I'm not like a writer by any means, so, like, screenplay stuff is just not where I land. So my film, basically how I sort of came up with the idea was, first of all, it's based on like true events, but it's not like an actual like true story. So that's kind of where it differs between like documentary filmmaking for me. But the way that I embarked on doing this was that I just saw a negative trope being sort of depicted in media about people of color. And I knew that that wasn't the reality. So we have, the film industry is just very white male dominated. And when it's white male dominated, people of color's truths get erased. Like, that's just a fact. So the trope that I noticed was, a lot of the times, specifically women of color, and I'm South Asian, I'm Muslim, so that's coming from sort of my perspective on this, media would portray like Muslim, sort of specifically an example, would portray a Muslim household as like oppressive to women of color. And the reason why this sort of stereotype that women of color go away from their culture, their heritage, or their family, or their religion, is because they feel oppressed by it, when in reality, it's really the white people in the racially homogenous area that you're living in that's making you feel that way. So hopefully this makes sense, but essentially, rather than portraying the people of color as the villains, it really is the people outside of you who make you feel sort of othered and make you feel different, that make you want to question your identity like that. It's never, at least from my experience, it's never been my own family. And I'm sure like other stories have the opposite experience, but from what I know, a lot of the times this sort of trope has become very negative in our society and has caused other issues like anti-Muslim sort of narratives and hate crimes towards women of color. So things like that. So that's like essentially the larger idea that I'm trying to portray. I don't know if I'll do it accurately or not, but that's sort of what it's basically about. And the process for it, man, I'm like in the middle of it, so it's really difficult to say. But I think the hardest part is just the screenplay writing, because my writing is like, it's like not meant for this. I'm used to those OHS level, like core class, like essays, like the MSB statistical, like final project stuff. Like, I cannot write a like creative piece. Like, that's not in my blood. So that is, I think, the hardest part of the process, but it's been, I've learned a lot about myself through it. So, and that sounds really cheesy, but I really have.
I was not cheesy. Pretty motivating, actually, for me, like all those listeners out there. Like, I feel like we had the Oscars like last week or something, right? And then like countless records were broken. We had the second female director who won the Best Director Award. She was also the first woman of color. So I feel like we're not there yet. So we still have to, there's a lot of work to be done. I think that's still kind of empowering, though, to see that we got to witness that, kind of, if that makes sense. And then about how you talked about how it's the film industry is really dominated by white men. That's so true. Like, growing up, I grew up with Disney, right? So you always saw the charismatic white man character with their person of color token diverse sidekick, right? They're always the butt of all the jokes, who's always, oh my God, they're just there for laughs, right? But I feel like having more women of color, people of color inside the film industry would diversify that perspective a little bit more, like how you're doing with your film, because it's not just like, oh yeah, we're becoming more Americanized, we're becoming more free from like less oppressive household. That's not what it is at all, right? So it's like having more people in that industry, like populating the industry with women of color, people of color, would help us understand that we can do both, if that makes sense. We can, I talked to you about this before as well, like we can like, you know, dress up in our traditional attire and do dances and celebrate our culture while at the same time going filming at a TikTok in our crop tops as well. You can do both. It's not mutually exclusive. I think that's pretty empowering as well. So I'm gonna like, here's the next question. So do you consider your film writing as like balancing your work in STEM, or do you think of it as just like one in the same, if that makes sense?
I think, so this is like the conflict I'm in right now. I'm sort of figuring out what I want to further like pursue, but I'm like, in terms of like what I want to study in college alongside medicine, like whether I want to prioritize film or not. So I would say, I think medicine, of course, I think is the larger thing for me, mainly because filmmaking has been a very important hobby. And what I've realized is if I turn my passion for filmmaking into something more than a hobby, then it feels like work to me. Like there, I just feel like it wouldn't be as enjoyable anymore. So they definitely, filmmaking helps me balance sort of the overarching like dread of like being in such a very demanding field that I want to pursue. Because the medical field is hard. It is hard. It's going to be really hard for me as someone who doesn't like science. So just having filmmaking on the side helps me portray my, like sort of express myself more. And again, that's a very cliche statement, but it helps a lot with expressing like my experiences, who I am, things that I witness in society that I want to sort of share with other people. So filmmaking has helped me with that, but medicine as well is something that I can further my passion for social justice as. It's a way for me to take sort of an activity like activism and turn it into an actual job that I can make a larger impact on. So yeah, that's my response.
Yeah, I just would like to add on to that. I think that's really interesting because you brought this up before about like interdisciplinary space, whereas like we're growing up and we're like STEM or humanities, which are you going to be? Are you going to be a STEM person or humanities person? Like even in OHS, we're asked like there's like a survey poll, are you a STEM person or humanities person? But I think like your activism and your love for like, you know, humanities side of STEM kind of like brings it together, kind of shows that you don't need to be one or the other. You can do both. And I think it's more powerful if you do both as well, because you take on both issues, both problems, both like spaces, and make something more out of that. So that's pretty interesting as well.
Okay, and then moving on to our next question. You do a lot of work right now with Yas and with your podcast and your current filmmaking, but if you could, how would you take your work to the next level and just expand it even more?
Man, that's like the hardest question. I would say to take it to the next level, I think specifically with like activism, like knowing when your time like leading and stuff is done. Like for example, with my YAS work, I've been leading it for 3 to 4 years, which is a very long time. And in order to take it to the next level, and like as someone in a leadership position, I need to know when my time running it is done. Because like in activism, like we preach about creating space for each other, creating platforms for each other, and not silencing voices. So as a leader in the activism field, it's important for me to stick by that moral and to stick by that sort of thing that everyone praises. And so in order to take it to the next level, it's kind of like you can't take it to the next level. You have to kind of give someone else the space to do that, because really activism is like a full-time job. And like same thing with like filmmaking and medicine, literally everything else. All these things are like a full-time job. Like it is, at times can be dreadful. So it's important to know when your time and your skill set in a certain position has been like at its max. And then I would say with science and medicine specifically, in order to take that to the next level, I think I would sort of be more specified in the field, if that makes sense, and sort of focus more on like bettering myself in order to further sort of that career or that field. And that means like just going to college, studying, whatever, like doing this and then making space for yourself in that sort of field, if that makes sense. Sorry, I'm like, hopefully that like was a good response.
No, that was very good. Thank you. And so you're saying that you're going to like essentially pass on the crown and just let someone else take over. But when you go to college and like when you graduate high school, do you think you're still going to keep doing just other humanities activities, or you're going to continue your filmmaking and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I think in terms of like my previous response and sort of this question, the way it works to me is like you have certain opportunities at certain sort of ages in your life. So for example, YAS would be like a high school thing for me, because I can only do so much while I'm actually in that position and also in that community. And so in order to further my activism, I would sort of make it more interdisciplinary with my passion for like medicine, because that's going to be a more long-term thing. And so like doing like public health, like research with healthcare disparities, or like sort of fixing the entire American healthcare system, like all of those things are like different levels of my passions. And so in terms of like passing on the crown, which is a great way of putting it, that's sort of the levels that you are like at, and that's sort of what you do when you're at those levels, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes like so much sense. Like, I guess it makes sense because how you like decide to grow and develop, even though you are where you are right now, there's so much more you think you could be doing. So you know, you pass on the crown which you have right now and look ahead, look what else you can be doing. Like, it makes sense because there's so much, like so much issue and like problems right now just in the healthcare system. Like, if you just look at the healthcare system, it's just like mind blowing. Like, you have like racial inequalities, income inequalities, gender inequalities, in like, if you're talking about both like patient care and also for providers as well. So it makes sense how you decide to look forward and see what else you can be doing to address these problems rather than just staying with like one activity for the rest of your life. So I think that's pretty inspiring. So like going in that vein, what do you hope to achieve or gain from your time right now in the Women in STEM community? Because you talk about, you know, looking ahead, what do you think like right now, what do you think you're benefiting from the Women in STEM community?
I think a couple things. First, probably being like having a community like this, because as someone who lives in like a very white town, a very racially homogenous area, I don't have peers or friends who are as like-minded as me or have similar passions to me. So I think by being in the Women in STEM space, I have a community of supporters and people that I can support. So that's a very big part of like what I'm passionate about, is having a community that is like-minded and also passionate and just, you know, very supportive environment, because that's so important. And also just meeting like the future leaders of literally everything. Like, everyone in this community is so powerful and they have so, like, they are going to go so far. So just knowing them and being in the same space as them is very impressive to me. And then also I would say like nurturing my passion for medicine and just like sort of learning more about science and medicine by going to like some of the lectures and things like that, that Women in STEM sort of have as resources and make available to us. So that's also a pretty big part of it.
Okay, and for our last question, we're gonna be finishing off with a very classic question. Do you have any advice for any fellow aspiring women in STEM?
This is like my go-to response, but I would say like just being secure in yourself, because that can really take you far. Like, women, and specifically women of color, have like really suffered from imposter syndrome, not because of us, it's really because of society that's constantly putting these false ideas into our minds. And so I would say my biggest advice would just be to remember that you have the skill set and you are qualified, and you should just continue to be confident in yourself, because you are like your biggest supporter, and if no one else supports you, at least you have you. So I would say that's probably what I would say, that if I could say it to everyone who wants to go into STEM, would just to be confident in yourself, because that's probably your biggest power, really.
That's really motivating, actually. I think that makes sense, because we see like all these like Black Lives Matter movement and like Stop Anti-Asian Hate Crimes. We get complacent, right? We're like, okay, look how much far we've gone. I think we're good now, but that's definitely not the case. So I think it's like the mantle's like on us, like as like the next generation, to keep pushing that, saying we're not done, we're not even close to being done. Just get up and do some work, right? So I think we have to like make sure that like white allies and people around the world, like men as well, don't get complacent about this, because there's so much work that needs to be done. So I think having being your own cheerleader is actually really motivating, so we can say we have work to do. So thank you for this entire interview. It was so amazing and really enlightening for me to like interview as well. I'm sure for Sahabi as well, I'm guessing. We went over your experience in like the gray area between like STEM and humanities, American and traditional culture, and it was really cool to talk about that with you. Thank you, Lena Harim, thank you for joining us for this podcast episode. Thank you for listening in, to whoever's listening in, and stay tuned for more episodes in the Women in STEM podcast.